You're listening to Cross the Border. I hope you enjoy that. That's one of my all-time favorite songs. I just love a song that's so biblically correct. And it's Abba, Father, you know. You have a heart that cries for our Father in heaven. And I especially like the line about being adopted into His family and that eternally. Because that's our position. We are adopted not only into a kingdom, but the King adopts us into His family, and we become a part of His kingdom. And that's what we've been talking about, the kingdom of heaven. And that's why it's such a tragedy that most of what passes for the church today has lost the power, the kingdom power. They have a form of godliness, but they don't have any power, because once they've joined the state, they've thrown off His kingdom and placed themselves under another kingdom, and that is the kingdom of the state, whatever state that they've joined and become a part of. They are no longer in His kingdom. It's the same thing as Israel throwing off the King of Kings and declaring they want a king like the other nations, and rejecting their King, our Father, who is in heaven, the Father King. We're talking about Nebuchadnezzar's dream and the times of the Gentiles. There's a phrase in the scripture, and perhaps I should have looked that up, and maybe I'll go there right now. The times of the Gentiles. And let's see if we can find that. I believe that would be a New Testament phrase. And search that, and here it is. Okay, let's see what happens here. If we look up that verse. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword. Oh, okay, yeah, that's the one. But woe unto them, this is the woe. When you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is near. Now he's talking to, I mean, this is Yahushua. This is red letter, King James Version. And he's preaching to these people, when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is near. And they saw it. He says, let them that are in Judea flee to the mountains. So he's speaking to the Judeans, the people that lived in the land then. And they're... He was speaking to the Yahudim. He said, let them which are in Yehuda flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out of it, and let not them that are in the countries there enter thereinto. And well, you know, we know what happened, if you know anything about history, and specifically the destruction of Jerusalem. That was not a place you would want to be. The city was sieged. If you were in it, you were in it, and you were in for a terrible time, a time of terrible trouble. You were to leave it when you saw Jerusalem compassed about with armies. And he was talking about something that was about 40 years into the future. So they were looking. He says, for these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. So what things are going to be fulfilled? All things. But woe to them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. So what he's saying that, you know, if you have a child, if you have little ones, it's going to be very hard for you, because it's harder to carry a child when you're on the run and when you're enduring hardships. It says, they shall fall by the edge of the sword. They did. And shall be led away captive into all nations. And this is the same word that is, the word nations here is translated as Gentiles, heathen, nations, people, and the word there is ethnos. And it says here, and I'll just read you from the Strong's, a race, that is a tribe, specifically a foreign, and he has here non-Jewish in parentheses, one usually by implication pagan, Gentile, heathen, nation, people. So let's read that. You shall be led, and shall be many shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, and there it is, the same word is nations, until the times of the Gentiles, and there it's the same word translated nations, be fulfilled. And I think it's wrong there to put Gentiles, because in all of those, it should be ethnos or nations. But people can debate that, because it's the time of the nations. Yes, and Jerusalem will be trodden down of the nations until the times of the nations be fulfilled. Is Jerusalem still trodden down by the nations? Well, if I look over there in Israel today, do I see anything that is even near the kingdom of God? Do they have a system of judges over there in Israel today? No, they have a nation. They have a nation like the other nations of the world. They are not separate. They are not different. So is Jerusalem still trodden down? And, of course, you have the all around Jerusalem, the entire country there, the entire Mideast is trodden down of the nations until the times of the nations be fulfilled. So has the times of the nations been fulfilled yet? And what is that referring to, the times of the nations? And I don't know how many people share this revelation with me, if it is a revelation at all. It seems pretty plain to me. And it goes on, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, and the sea and the waves roaring. Well, that sounds like, could be today, the times of the nation. I believe he's talking about two different times. One, he's talking about them having to flee, them which are in Judea, let them flee to the mountains, let them which are in Jerusalem depart out of it, because you don't want to be in the midst of it, he says, and let not them that are in the countries, and he's talking about the outlying areas, enter into it. So don't go into Jerusalem. If you're in Jerusalem, get out when you see these things. But here, he's really changing gears here, because he's talking about, now he's saying Jerusalem, after these things, they shall fall by the edge of sword, they shall be led away captive into all nations, which they were. Whoever was left there in the land and wasn't killed, because they killed a lot of people, whoever they took out alive and was able to live through that, they were sold into slavery. They were sold as servants and slaves. And that way they were dispersed into all nations. So they were led away captive into all nations, and not just one nation specifically. So they were sold into all nations as captives, as slaves, as servants. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the nations until the times of the nations be fulfilled. And I believe that this times of the nations is referring to what was depicted by Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Of course, he dreamed of an image, and Nebuchadnezzar dreamed of an image, and Daniel interpreted the dream because, of course, Nebuchadnezzar didn't know what the dream meant, and he would not even tell Daniel what the dream was, because he wouldn't tell his own magicians and so forth. He was going to have them all killed, if you'll remember that. I've just read that recently again myself in my own personal studies. So if you read Daniel, you can read that for yourself. But basically, this is it. You know, he dreamed about this image. It was the head of gold. And, of course, there was the arms and the breasts. And, of course, and it went down to the legs of iron. And then the feet and the 10 toes of iron and clay. And, of course, we know Nebuchadnezzar, or Babylon, was the head of gold. Because he said, thou, O king, you are the head of gold. And as the nations, and I believe that this is Mystery Babylon, also what is referred to as Mystery Babylon in the Bible. Because Mystery Babylon, this is the mystery, is that the Bible gives us the answer. And it's a thing hidden from most people, even most people that know the scripture, don't recognize Mystery Babylon. They're going, what is it? Where is it? What does it mean? But the answer is in the scripture. And Mystery Babylon is this head of gold going down, and basically, it encompasses all nations of all times until the Messiah comes. This is Mystery Babylon. It is the kingdoms of men, or, to use a phrase, it is the times of the Gentiles, or could we preferably translate that as times of the nations. Getting the picture here? Times of the nations, until the times Jerusalem will be trodden of the nations, until the times of the nations be fulfilled. And that's why I relate this phrase to Daniel's image. Because in his dream, he dreams of this great image, and then this great mountain comes out of the sky, this mountain that is not fashioned with hands. So it's not a nation built by the hands of men. It's not the kingdom of God on earth. There's a lot of people that are trying to build the kingdom. They're trying to take it by force. You know, we have Islam, we have Catholicism. We have those examples in history of people trying to build the kingdom of God or trying to take it by force. Nope, not built with the hands of man. It's not going to be taken by force. This is built without hands. And it strikes the image in the feet. So if Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold, and as history plays out, or the times of the nations is fulfilled, it goes down to the clay and the iron, the feet of clay, and 10 toes of clay and iron. And that's where we're at now. Because, of course, we know that the Roman Empire basically was the feet of clay and iron, and we know that what we have on the earth today, at least in the land where I live, it's a Roman-style government, basically. They borrowed, they did not set up a godly form of government in America. They used some of the principles of the scripture, so that the nation that was created was lamb-like, and that's a key phrase if you go into Revelation, that America was lamb-like, it had lamb-like features, but then it speaks as a dragon, which means that the nation that was lamb-like will, if it speaks as a dragon, that it will engage in persecution, which is really beginning right now, as we see the nation drifting further and further away from its lamb-like features and becoming more dragon-like. And it will be speaking laws that will be counter to the ecclesia, or the remnant, or Yahuwah's called out ones. And I hope all of this is making sense to the hearers, because it has to do with today. But that is, the times of the nations will be fulfilled when this mountain, or this kingdom of God, made without hands, strikes the image of in the feet. And when it happens in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, it says that when it struck the image in the feet, that the image was just decimated to like powder. And it, like the chaff of the threshing floor, it blew away, and there was no place found for them. So there's no more place for the nations of men, for the building of men. And that's when the times of the nations will be fulfilled. Is this simple enough? Can you understand this? Can you understand how I'm getting this out of the scripture? How simple the prophecy really is when you pull all these pieces together, when you become intimate enough with the word of our Heavenly Father, that all these pieces just fall into place. The times of the nations is not fulfilled yet. I still see the nations of men out here, all around me. As a matter of fact, I see Jerusalem compassed about by nations. And I see it trodden down by nations. So until the times of the nations is fulfilled, that's what he's talking about here. So we read that again. They shall fall by the edge of the sword, shall be led away captive into all nations. That's the end of that part of the prophecy. And now he goes, from that point on, he says, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the nations until the times of the nations be fulfilled. There shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations. And we have plenty of distress of nations. We have famine. We have great disasters. It says with perplexity. I wonder what we have here for perplexity. That's an interesting word. Quandary, perplexity, confusion. I mean, things are very complex, very perplex. So perplexity, and the sea and the waves roaring. I'm not certain what the sea and the waves roaring. Perhaps that could be, well, we just had a great tsunami that killed hundreds of thousands of people here in a few years back. Constantly having these storms that do all of this damage. So that's the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. So we believe we're in for a lot more distress before the end comes. But I'm not an alarmist. I don't believe that the end of the world is coming tomorrow or in 7 days or in 2012. People like to get excited about things like this. It's, you know, it's very exciting. It's it's very alarming, and it gets people to listen. It gets people to do things that they wouldn't normally do. But I don't believe that's what our Heavenly Father's desire. I believe his desire is to be obedient to Him, for us to have a desire to be obedient to Him, to live our lives in that way. There shall be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, yes, men's heart failing them for fear, the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And I believe this is when this great mount comes and it strikes the image in the feet. I don't believe that will be in our lifetime, or the lifetime of my children, or even my grandchildren. I believe we have several hundred years to go before that. I mean, I could be wrong. But, you know, if you go to what is called the Jewish calendar today, and you do a good study into the calendar, and especially if you're trying to date what year it is from creation, that you come up several hundred years short of what would be called the year 6000, or having 6000 years complete. Now, I can't say this is thus saith the Lord. I can't say that this hypothesis is correct. But if Yahuwah or Yahshua is going to come with the kingdom, and figuratively or literally, that this kingdom is going to come and strike the nations of this world and obliterate them completely, all of the works of the nations of men's, and this, all the systems of government of men are going to be totally obliterated. At least we know this is a figure of that happening, him coming and obliterating all of the governments, kingdoms of men, so that there is no place found for them. There will only be a place found for his kingdom and his kingdom principles. And that's why it is, I believe it is so important that we learn his law, that we learn his calendar, that we learn his name, that we learn his ways and statutes and judgments, so that we can at least have a desire to implement them first in our lives as much as is possible, and to teach these things to our children so that we can correct the errors, so that we can throw off the Reformation and begin a restoration. Because you can't reform something that is corrupt, because you still have a corrupt foundation. You need to throw it off completely and go back and start over again. And I believe that's what he's going to do. I mean, absolutely that's what he's going to do. When his kingdom, when he comes and that mountain strikes the image, Mystery Babylon, the image that Nebuchadnezzar had in the feet, and it totally obliterates all of the nations of men, of mankind, for all time, forever, and then his kingdom fills the whole earth. That's part of the dream, too, and part of the interpretation. And he said that the dream is sure, and the interpretation thereof is sure. We can count on it. He gave us his word. He said it is sure. So, I want to be a part of that kingdom, because I know it's coming forever. It may not come in my lifetime. I may go to him before he comes to us. And that is most likely, because that's been the condition of everyone that's gone on before me. They've all died in their mortal flesh, and they were all immediately raised from the dead to go on to the next event. That is the resurrection of the dead. They just went into the grave. They were resurrected. They went around time. We have no communication with the dead. To us, they are sleeping in the grave. And even though, like, I have a sister who passed away in 1985, that she has gone on to the resurrection of the just, and I will join her there in the resurrection. We will both appear at the same time. That's all I have time for today. We'll see you next time on Cross the Border.